Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And back in Minnesota.
Still in Minnesota.
Joe Crazy Ryder. How you doing today, Joe?
Well, I like bacon and I'm not playing Duke Nukem Forever, so I guess I'm one for two.
Okay. I'm opening the show with sad news.
Oh, no.
I didn't even tell you about this, Joe. It's a surprise.
Uh-oh.
It's a surprise to everyone.
Hang on. Let me turn off my Doctor Who calendar. Let me close Wikipedia on Star Trek. Close off Castle Age. Let's see. Turn off my solitaire game and shut down all the porn sites. Okay, I'm ready.
At the end of August, Crazy Comics and Stories will be canceled.
Thank God, I'll get my life back. I mean, what?
We are ending the show and starting over with the new number one. We've hired a designer to give the new, younger, hipper, happier hosts a new wardrobe. We will be forgetting all of the past shows. We might be retelling some of the old stories. We might be telling new stories. You just don't know. Everything starts over the first week of September. Crazy Comics and Stories gets a reboot.
I heard that. It's called the Ultimate Crazy Comics and Stuff.
Or All-Star Crazy Comics and Stuff.
Or Marvel Adventure Crazy Comics and Stuff.
Or the Valiant Comics and Stuff.
That's just the or Image United or Together or whatever the hell. How many issues of that came out while I was gone?
None.
I didn't see any in my box.
I'm gonna play old fan right now. DC right. Made this huge announcement. Oh, we're hitting the reset button. Everything starts over with the new number one. We're gonna have 52. New number ones. Let's do the math, shall we? If
all
you
right.
want to pick up all of the DC number ones, that's
$155.48 retail. Not that I've been, you know, pre-adding anything.
Hold on. We're not sure about that because Justice League number one is $3.99, not $2.99.
I was assuming they held the line.
Well, remember, the number ones might be double-sized.
Oh, okay, hang on, let me clear. 399 times 52. $207.48.
To jump on in September, primarily known as a slow month in comics, I'm not just talking slow as in, I mean, sales are slow. That's why a lot of your big events start in July and August and end after. They want to keep people reading through September, October, November, because those are your slow months. We're going to start our new universe, not when people are pouring their money into comics, but when they have to go back to school, or they have to put their kids back to school, or they have to pay their college tuition, or... A lot of people, you know, all over the internet is, oh, this could be the greatest thing ever. Oh, this is a gut-wrenching nightmare. To me, it's like, how many times are they going to do this? How many times is...
Yeah, for DC, I mean, it's like, when I read about that, you know, to me, as we talked about, I wasn't all that interested in Flashpoint. However, a certain event occurred, which we have yet to touch upon, called Free Comic Book Day. And our good buddies at the Source / Uncle Sven saved both Pat did. He saved Corey and I both a bag of the freebie swag. But while we were busy reading about this, something happened which we have yet to touch upon on the podcast day, Free Comic Book Day. And Free Comic Book Day, of course, Corey and I were both indisposed. And our good buddies at the Source / Uncle Sven, namely Pat, held both a bag for Corey and I. I have yet to read any of it because, you know, usually we'll do an episode about what we're looking forward from all the free comic book swag. However, I did read the Green Lantern special edition, you know, because I've been trying to I want to get caught up on Green Lantern and I want to be able to follow what's going on. When the back of it had a little thing about Flashpoint. And as I read it, I was kind of like, you know, it sort of is interesting, but you know, again, we have another world that's been altered and Flash is the only one to find out. And you know, it's kind of like the amalgam of, no, that's not right. The final cry. No, that's not right. The impact. I don't know. It's like, DC, how many times are you going to go to this well before
hello?
Decide that it's just not worth it? Ah, never mind. It's just the tax collector. Yeah, I'll talk to him later. But anyways, so I read Flashpoint, and at first as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, you know, this actually sounds kind of cool. Then I read about all these number ones that are starting out. And I've been reading about how it's not necessarily that they're rebooting an entire universe. I mean, we've seen that already with Ultimates, for good or bad. We've seen DC do that a couple times, for good or bad. Actually, they're doing what they should have done way back in 86 when Crisis hit. They should have just stopped the universe at the end of Crisis 12 and rebooted everything with number ones, with the exception of maybe like Detective, Action, you know, keep their numbering going. But, you know, to me, it's like, they're doing what they did to Wonder Woman. The entire DC universe now is going to be different. And I just don't care. You know, I might later. I mean, there might be things I'll read that I'll actually enjoy. But, you know, to me, it's just it's a collective yawn. And, yeah, it got a lot of press and people are all excited about it. But as a comic retailer, this stuff doesn't come out till September. Who cares? By then, they're going to be on to something different. Nobody's going to be around in September that's all excited about the event now, except us hardcore comic readers. Everybody's going to be back in the stores or back in school. I mentioned it before, three times of the year that are tough on comic retailers. Beginning of the new year, beginning of summer, end of summer. Because what's happening there is people, things are changing. Your life gears change. You're going to school. You're coming to school. You're going to vacation. A new year, just, you know, Christmas blahs, whatever. Worst time to ever try a relaunch. They really should have thought this out better and had it relaunched like now. Where you got the press. You got people interested in it and things can happen.
I called in to Comic Geek Speak when they announced it. They had one of their special call-in shows. And they just wanted initial reaction. And I gave my initial reaction. Now I've thought about it more. And the more I think about it, the more I think that this, I want this to succeed. I'll be honest. Grant Morrison doing a Superman comic? Oh, hell yeah. That in itself is enough for me to go, okay, I'm interested. But for what they've said they want to do, they're talking about how they want to reposition themselves in the market. They're having the digital day and date relaunch, and they're talking about they want to bring in new readers. Bring in new readers, baby. And
that boat's gone.
Well, here's my problem with it. You're going to bring in new readers by telling them, hey, this stuff's coming out in 3 months. Here's our big press release. We're on the cover of USA Today. We're on CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. And when's this stuff coming out? Now, when a book comes out and the author goes on Fox and Friends or CNN or Oprah Winfrey, it's the book is available in the store right now. Go buy it. It's not, oh, okay, Oprah's done the interview, so when's your book coming out? Why, it's coming out 3 months from now, Oprah. People don't remember 3 months from now.
No, they're not going to care. The other thing they should be doing... What's the big DC movie coming out soon?
DC. Is green. Oh, God. So, Aladdin? No. Lensman? No. Oh, Green Lantern.
Yes. Every person who goes to Green Lantern should have a copy of the Free Comic Book Day Green Lantern Special Edition. It should be at theaters. They should be handing it out. If they really are serious about getting readers involved, they should be going to the millions and millions of people that are going to go see this movie and hand them this book that says, okay, here is Green Lantern. Here's what's going on. Oh, by the way, we got this event called Flashpoint or whatever that we're going to do something with. And, you know, I'm sitting here. I've got my copy of Green Lantern Special Edition Free Comic Book Day. And a brilliant thing is on it. It says free courtesy of the Source Comics and Games. It gives all the information you need to get a hold of the Source, the website, their hours, their location, in an area that used to be where you would probably put the, what the hell they call it? The little bars that look like Hitler's mustache or something.
Oh, the UPC code.
Thank you. I mean, how much more did the Source have to spend or buy in order to get that on there? The one thing Corey and I didn't get to do this year, we didn't get to run around and hit different stores to compare who had what. But I'd be curious to see if anybody else on Free Comic Book Day has that blurb for their favorite store. Is that something DC did? Was that a co-op deal? You know, I'll have to ask Nick about that next time I see him, which probably won't be till FallCon, October 15th, 2011 at the Minnesota State Fairground Progressive Center building. But I don't want to talk about that now. Where else could DC put out word to everybody that, hey, we've got this coming?
I've been reading up on what their plans are because Bob Wayne, who's in their marketing department, has been going, sending out emails and releases to the comic shops to basically say, hey, look, we're not undercutting you with digital. Well, here's the thing. Digital, day and date. Yep, they're going to have it, but it's the same price. It's full price.
The day I get a reader that can fit, like a Kindle can fit a book. I'm serious. I've seen a Kindle at work. I may never buy another book again. I've seen my Nano at work, you know, and I've ranted about this when I went to Alaska. I probably will never buy a CD again. Or I'm working Netflix now off the week. Why am I going to pay $20 for a DVD when I can wait a few months and catch it for free or just wait till next year and it's $5 in a bin? The day they come out with a reader that is the size and the shape and that I can get the color of a comic book, I may never buy comics again. I mean, I went out and I finally got that, what we talked about, that Star Trek, the complete comic book collection for $10 from Half Price Books. I mean, it used to be $30. I would have bought it at $30. I remember seeing this on the magazine that they Delta puts in their pockets when you're trapped and got nothing else to do. And they had it for $50, and I almost bought it then. You know, and this covers every comic from the day one all the way up to 2006, because I think that was the last time they published Star Trek comics until currently. And I'm like, I could see the day fast approaching where I just may not buy new comic books at all. Or I'll go the other direction, like at the Comic-Con that we'll get to in a bit, where I just, I'll see something I want to read and buy for a buck or a quarter or whatever.
Here's my rant, and I'll try to keep it short, but here's my rant. And I feel like I keep hammering this nail and no one pays any attention to me, which either means that A, I'm way off base, or B, everyone else is stupid.
Or you're missing the nail.
Well, there is that too. So Bob Wayne is sending out information. You know, we had this huge release, and why they did it now, I don't know. Because normally these big information dumps are either tied to previews is about to come out, they're about to go to a big convention, or there's something else. Nope. Boom, here's this big story, middle of the week, end of May. It gets in USA Today, and like I said, all those places. Now, it's primarily, we're really going to push for new readers. We know we might lose some of the old readers, but we're really going to push for new readers. Oh, okay, how are you going to do it? Well, we sent out this press release, and we'll buy some ads on Comic Book Resources and Newsarama, and we'll have ads in previews. Oh, okay. What else are you going to do? Well, we're going to talk about it at comic conventions. We're going to really be pushing it at comic conventions. Okay. What else are you going to do? They're not doing anything else to get this out in front of new readers. They're going to hope that Bob non-comic reader will remember 3 months from now, oh yeah, they're coming out with a new Aquaman number one. And maybe they'll send out a press release, you know, when it happens and hope, oh, gee, I really hope that it's a slow news day and somebody picks up the news and we get free advertising on TV. Well, how about you buy advertising on TV? How about you buy some advertising on the radio? How about you buy some billboards?
Or do it during, I don't know if Disney would take it because it's from Warner Brothers, but ad money's ad money. I mean, I started watching the Avengers. What's that, on Disney XD or whatever? It's a wonderful program. Again, a new universe launched. All the heroes are fresh. You know, Hulk is still part of the Avengers, even though he doesn't necessarily get along with them. Run a few ads right there. You know, I mean, this is almost getting into a Tales of the Shop, but maybe we'll save that for later on in the show. I'll talk about buying stuff from or buying ads that Hot Comics and ran. In fact, I'll save that conversation for Tales of the Shop. But you know, you're right. There's nothing other than preaching to the choir or telling people who are already predisposed to buy comics to buy it.
It boggles my mind. It really does. It boggles my mind that not just fans, but people who work at DC, when they're asked, what are you doing to advertise this? Well, we're setting up at conventions. That's not advertising. That's not bringing in new readers. That's not getting the word out. Now, this,
you know,
they should have
had that information at Free Comic Book Day. The one thing non-comic readers actually know about comics is that the one day of the year they can go to a local comic store and get a free comic book. They may never come back again. Matter of fact, I suspect a lot of times that happens. But they would have that information and they sit down and look through their free swag. It might spur them to go, hey, maybe I'll jump in on this event. But it's opportunity lost.
It is. And here's the thing. And I said this when I called Comic Geek Speak and I say it when I talk. Boy, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. However, history shows, past practice shows, the information they are putting out shows, and the fact that they haven't brought anybody new into their marketing and sales department that we've heard about shows they're just going to do what they always do. Well, we dump the information out there. Well, sales didn't go up. That's not our fault. We advertised.
But they've got variant covers.
Yeah, they're all going to have variant covers. They're all going to have all that crap. And we'll leave the topic, but I just want to leave one question in people's minds. Name a company that has done a line-wide reboot, because a lot of companies have done it. Valiant did it at least 3 times. Dark Horse Heroes did it a few times. X-Men, the 2099 universe did it a few times. Marvel did it with Heroes Reborn. Name one time one of these reboots has resulted in long-term sales growth.
No, I think the comic industry basically is just surviving on us. Now, don't get me wrong. Years from now, there'll probably still be Green Lantern. There's still going to be Spider-Man. There's still going to be Batman. It's just, unless the comic store owner is very savvy and knows what they're doing.
Or digital takes off.
Yeah. Where, you know, the stores that you buy aren't going to be there, or we'll be buying all online, or, you know, whatever. It's a market changing. It's always been a niche market. Once upon a time, I think it was, Comic Journals, Gary Growth.
Growth.
he was talking about, look at the numbers. And this was in the 90s, might have been the 80s. You know, this is when it was big. We're talking Spider-Man, X-Force, definitely, you know, millions of copies being sold. And he said, it's just an aberration because sales ever since the Golden Age have been dropping. And he said, it takes to make a best-selling book. At that time, I think he said $3 million or books. That's all it took to get on the New York best-selling list. The best-selling comic book at the time was 120,000. We were a pimple on the buttocks of the publishing industry. You know, the fact that we're still where we are is largely just Diamond kind of spoon feeding everybody, trying to keep the market alive. But, you know, we're a niche market. We're aging. We're older. My kids will read comics if I give them to them, but I can guarantee they're not out looking for comic stores. They don't mind going to comic stores. They'll buy video games. They'll buy movies. They'll go to the movies. They'll watch the TV shows. They'll download apps. But like you said, unless digital takes off, woe to the comic retailer.
Well, this here show, even though it's being canceled in a couple of months,
you're right,
has sponsors, ladies and gentlemen. And sponsor number one is Worldwide News. That's right, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest rated cable news network, is got all new strips starting yesterday. Dan has over a month's worth of scripts in his hand. He's excited. He's jazzed. I'm excited and jazzed. We're not doing a relaunch. We just took a break because I was not doing too well
in the pie
spare time-wise. And no one gave me any pie at the convention. So Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com. Which is hosted by DreamHost.com, the best damn web host in the whole known universe. Lifehacker says so. Gizmodo says so. And you can get yourself your own web page. Let's face it, if you don't have a web page, you're wasting time. DC's got a web page. They don't have a whole lot about this relaunch on it unless you go to the blog. But they got a web page. Everybody's got a web page except you. You need a web page. Nobody's going to take you seriously unless you have a web page. And all you need to do is go to dreamhost.com, click on the buy web hosting, put in the code CRAZY, and you'll save $20 off your first order. That's K-R-A-Y-Z, and you'll save $20. And Joe mentioned there's a Comic-Con coming up in October. I would like to thank the people who came up and shook our hands and said hello and said they listened to the show and were happy with the show. A couple people mentioned a couple things they'd like us to change, and I'm doing that.
Nobody did it to me.
Well, maybe you just aren't very personable.
That's true. I spent most of my time with my daughter running around taking pictures, which we'll talk about when we get into con coverage.
Well, we're getting into con coverage. I want to point out something. We got an email yesterday from Nick.
Yep.
And in it he said, attendance was up 14% from last year.
Despite bad weather.
Despite a tornado. Now,
if you look at the pictures, now, there's two pages on Facebook. And unfortunately, this is the only place you'll be able to check them out. The first one, of course, is our own official Crazy Comics and Stuff podcast page. But the second one is...
We've got a Facebook page?
We got all sorts of things we don't utilize. I think we got a hotline number. We got a forum on geekspeak.com. We got even our own web page where you can go and download these wonderful podcasts. But if you're listening to this, you already know that. So, but I help with the Midwest Comic Book Association's page. And if you put in Midwest Comic Book Association, you will see MCBA in our red banner. From there, you can go check out all the photos that I took along with my daughter from the Comic-Con. So I obviously recommend that you do that. And I think we might even have a couple of our own esteemed pie eater himself
Why, I believe there is a picture of me, and there's one up there that I got to be honest, I absolutely love. I think it's day one, and it's the best dressed man in comics and the worst dressed goober in comics.
Yep. Yeah, I got it right here. Yep.
I look quite dapper. I do. I look quite dapper in that photo. And good old Nick.
The worst dressed goober in comics.
It was raining that day. Now we were outside.
A big blur on the camera lens.
We were outside trying to help people get in faster. The line, if you've ever been to the state fair, you know where the grandstand is. The line went all the way back, I guess, a block and a half past the slides.
Yeah, and it actually double backed amongst itself, just like they do at Disney and that, you know, where you like kind of switch back. And it was just amazing. I mean, and I think it rained. It did lighten up right before the con opened, so apparently the comic gods were pleased with us. I'm just trying to browse through some of the photos here. But I posted pictures of all this stuff, both day one and day two. Pictures of the charity booth that Corey and I worked at and kind of kept an eye on. Speaking of which, the con collected and donated over $7,600 for the Minnesota Lupus Foundation and the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. And they collected and donated over 1,900 pounds of food to the local food shelves. Am I right in my math? Isn't 2,000 pounds a ton?
Yes, it is.
Almost a ton of food. And I'm sure, Corey, if you hadn't eaten all the pie filling, we would have made that 2,000 pounds right there. That is amazing. See, as
I said, I am upset. I am upset. No one brought me pie.
I don't want upset because as much doom and gloom as we talked about with DC and their goofy stunt, at the Comic Con, at Spring Con, it was amazing. It was fun. I mean, there were a lot of people. I think Will Eisner said it best, you know, he's before he shuffled off to a higher realm of existence. He talked a lot about how many times he had heard the doom and gloom stories and about how comics were going to be over. And he felt that no matter, as long as some kids somewhere just got the urge to draw and to print and to put it together, so comics will survive one form or another. They may not be the big multi-billion dollar behemoths they were in the past, but somebody somewhere is going to be doing comic books. And we saw a lot of that at the con. My daughters and I spent a lot of time trying to get pictures of all the guests, of all the characters, costume characters, of everybody involved. And as much as we took pictures, we know there's some people that we just didn't get. And, you know, if you're one of those people, I apologize. Next time, stay at your damn table when we come by and take a picture. All right. Try to stay positive.
Now, one of the things, we have another sponsor, and I think we might as well just go with the sponsor because we're going to be talking about stuff from the con and everything, and that will be our Tales from the Shop. Tales from the Shop has theme music by Chris B. Chris B., who's an acoustic performer. She's back after her tour, and if you follow her on Facebook, you saw that she was all over. She went through Wisconsin and down through Chicago and then around Michigan and into Ohio and then through the Northeast, and then she stayed in New York City and then down to Washington, D.C. and performed pretty much anywhere she could. She is back in Minnesota. Woo-hoo. On Friday, July 10th. She is at the Ginkgo Coffee House, which is at 721 North Snelling Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota. Joe?
Yes.
What else is near 721 North Snelling Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota?
Me? I'm looking at Comic-Con pictures. You tell the good folks.
What's near North Snelling, 721 North Snelling Avenue? The Source Comics and Games. So you pick up your comics, get over to the Ginkgo Coffee House by 7:30, and you can see Chris B. perform. Now, Sunday, June 12th, she is at the Milwaukee Pride Fest. on Saturday, June 18th. She's at the Red Rooster Coffee House at 202 South Main Street in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And then on Saturday, June 25th, she is at the Twin Cities Pride Fest down at Loring Park. She's performing at 4:30. She gave us the theme for Tales from the Shop. She's an incredible performer. And if you follow her on Facebook, you will see that every day is the best day ever.
I'm done.
With the plugging.
That sounds good. We got everything. I'll just mention quickly, too. I'm back on The Toy Peddler, which is www.thetoypeddler.com. Under the name Crazy, I'll be selling stuff as I slowly work through my garage. Before the con, I brought literally 3 carloads of stuff to the charity art booth table. And I'm happy to announce I only brought one back, and I think we stored a bunch of stuff. It was an amazing charity booth. I mean, people were so generous. We'd be just humming along, and all of a sudden someone would come by and drop off a boatload of records. Another person would come by and donate some artwork or donate some books. And it was always appreciated. Like I said, every penny we raised went right to the total. That went to the charity booth. So we've got it all stored away. In the meantime, I still got a garage load full of stuff. So I just kept going through it. This was after the con. I mean, we just kept going through it. And it's amazing some of the stuff that I've uncovered. I mean, and to my chagrin, it's things that I'm thinking, why the hell didn't I sell this when I had the shops going? But I'll be putting some of that up on thetoypeddler.com. Look for me under the name Crazy. And if you ever want to try it, you can get free listing credits. Just go right to the webpage and they'll say it. And of course, as we mentioned before, FallCon, put it on your calendars, October 15th, 2011. It's not too late to start talking about it. It's less than 140 days away. Plan for it, people.
And this time I better get some pie.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of pie, I got there Thursday at the con. I helped them set up. What I like about getting there early is I can get the charity booth set up, and then I can play around after that. And there was a lot of stuff going on. I caught a couple pictures, like I said, of people loading in, coming in. One of the things I think what we should do, Corey, is let's just go back and forth, just things that you saw or things that you did, because we could actually do another hour and a half podcast on just the con. And but one of the first things I thought that was funny is in the very front of the con, you came in, you got your prize, if you're lucky enough to get one of the bags, which, by the way, nobody turned in the golden ticket again for what,
fourth year running. People, look through your bags. I think this year it was another omnibus.
And people were looking through their bag. I went up onto the platform, and as I was watching people come in, the one thing that didn't happen this year, there wasn't a big crunch right at the beginning of the tables or at the entrance, because a lot of, I think you and Nick and some other people, you went down and you pre sold the tickets. So people just came in, showed their armband, and they were off and running. So there wasn't a big yep. crunch. The people that got the grab bags, though, they would go approximately 5 feet forward, stop, and look in their bags. And so you had that people milling about. That was kind of funny. But they set up an art booth, and they also set up a dealer, and I'm ashamed to say I didn't get his name, who put up, or I should say a collector, who put up his comic book collection. As you're facing it, it would be on the far right. Every single cover had to do with barbers and getting a haircut.
Yeah, that was amazing.
What an amazing collection. And he had new stuff. He had older stuff. It was just fantastic to look at. You know, if you've got a real cool esoteric collection when SpringCon rolls around next year, you know, get a hold of Nick and he'll give you some space to show your stuff off because it was a lot of fun.
I wanted to point out a couple things about the convention. Now, we're talking Tales from the Shop type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with quite a few dealers because this year I could actually go out. I had money this year, Joe. I spent money.
We'll talk. Yeah, we should. Let's save that for later about things that we got to actually buy.
Oh, I know. But I talked to dealers and I said, how are sales doing? Yeah, is it better than last year, better than the year before? I wanted to get a good idea. And most of them told me that their bargain stuff, they were blowing through it. The dollar boxes, the half price trades. There was one table that had buy two trades, get one free. There was another one, buy one trade, get one free. There was one, swear to God, on Sunday was buy one trade, get two free. He was just trying to get rid of this stuff. Mm-hmm. All of that, they said that they couldn't fill those boxes fast enough.
Oh yeah. There's
but
a lot
the
of
high dollar stuff people weren't even looking at. Jay from Twin Cities Comics, he had an Avengers number 4. And I forget what shape it was in, but it was around a $500-$700 book. And he said no one even asked to look at it. And with a Captain America movie, usually, like before the Punisher movie came out, first appearances of Punisher tripled in value. It went crazy. But with Thor and Captain America and Green Lantern this year, high dollar books people didn't even look at. They were looking to fill bags, which tells me a couple of things. First, it tells me that people are still bargain hunting. People are still, you know what, I don't have a lot of money. I want to make it stretch as far as I can. I listen to a few comic podcasts, and I can't tell you how many times I hear, oh, I'll look for that in the bargain bins. Never mind that when you buy something out of a bargain bin, the shop is losing money. So if you're buying enough stuff out of the bargain bin, that shop won't be there.
Possibly. It's possible that they may have made their money. It's one thing that was interesting always about comics is that going to, like you said, if you didn't sell it the first week, you didn't sell it. Very, very rarely would you find a book and Walking Dead comes to mind. You could have back issues and people are going to come in and keep buying them. I found it independent comics, you would get more of that than you would the mainstream. So yeah, stores really should, they're trying to sell out. I linked onto our Facebook page, something I want to talk about at a future con, but it's called Comic Store Owner's Biggest Mistakes. It's from www.tomheroes.com. And this guy had a comic store, has been in the comic industry, closed his comic store for whatever reason, and he's doing on the website what we're doing on the podcast, talking about comics and our retail experience that we had. So check that out. But he comes up with the attitude, one in 10. For every 10 copies you have pre-sold, you should order one for the shelf. And that was an interesting formula, which didn't necessarily work when I had the store. But on the plus side, you know, we had cons just like the MCBA and just like what Corey said, load that stuff on a pallet, get it out of there. You know it was bad. I don't know if any of you saw the pallet box of comic books behind the charity booth. Angela set up her massage thing. And behind that, there was a pallet full of comic books that DC just gave the MCBA to give away. Some of it went in the grab bag. Some of it were put out on freebie tables. I mean, if they've got boxes of this stuff that they can just give away.
Well, let's be fair. These were free comics and those dollar reprints. So these are promotional books. This is the stuff they take to conventions.
Well, they can write it off
away.
As a tag, you know, promotional anyway.
That's
you know?
Right.
I mean, what was the one year we ended up with a bunch of number one Batmans and Robins?
Oh, yeah. No, it was Batman and Robin.
That was like a hot book going, like $5 to $10, and we had boxloads of them. We just gave it away as a freebie, you know?
The other thing about people not even looking at the high dollar books, what that means to me, the people who are collectors, they have completely shifted how they buy stuff. I don't think your hardcore collectors who are going to be buying your silver and golden age books, I don't think they're going to cons to buy stuff anymore. I think they're buying it almost exclusively on eBay. And even then, how many of them are people like me who I used to want to fill in my collection? I don't give a damn about filling in my collection anymore. I want to read the Ditko Doctor Stranges. Oh, look, there's all the Ditko Doctor Stranges in a $15 book. I can read the entire run. Cool. Boom. Done.
Funny you should mention that, because that's kind of what I spent most of the time doing, is trying to fill in runs. I must be one of the odd people out.
Well, you also
got to look at like what I'm trying to fill in.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to do my Ultraverse collection. Thanks to Len Straczewski, I was able to pick up a couple copies that he almost gave me. I mean, I almost felt bad. He autographed them, which was nice. I picked up a few more Superman family. I picked up Doctor Strange. Runs, you know, some holes in there. Didn't fill in any Supergirls. Didn't fill in any Avengers that I've been trying to do. I did pick up some Goofy stuff. I've been getting into, I don't know if it's Free Comic Book Day firing me up, but I've been getting into what they call promotional comics, freebies. Like, I picked up this one from the American Legion called Our Country's Flag. It's a fairly new one. Corey, did you ever shop at Radio Shack?
No, Radio Shack kind of scared me as a kid.
They used to have a book called Whiz Kids, where they were talking about Tandy computers. And some of the more famous ones had Superman in them, but every month or so, they'd have a new one just with these Whiz Kids, and that was their promotional comic, which is why I like to go there. And now, of course, you can find them usually in the dollar bins or things like that. And, you know, just promotional comics like that. A couple independents I picked up, Super Maxi Pad Girl, because I heard about it the last con, and I totally blanked on picking it up.
And she was there again.
Yeah, I picked them up direct from her. There were other creators that I tried to get to that I never got a chance to pick up stuff. And then, you know, I'm just looking at some of the esoteric things I picked up. I picked up like the Avenger blank covers, variant editions, just because there was a place blowing them out for $2 a piece. I picked up something called Maxwell Mad and His Wrestling Women. Don't ask me why. Worlds Unknown presents the thing called Killdozer.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah. And I just figured
that
pick that up.
That was a Marvel book. And it was, that was back when Marvel was doing adaptations of science fiction short stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. Theodore Sturgeon wrote that story.
Yep.
Marvel went to him and said, can we adapt this for one of our black and white magazines? I forget the name of it, but it was, I think it was like Fantastic Worlds of Science Fiction or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they bought the rights to adapt these stories. And the first issue came out, and it just laid there.
Oh.
And they had already put together, I forget how many issues it went. It only went like, if it went 9 issues, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, oh, Unknown, issue. This was
Unknown
issue
Worlds.
Six.
Well,
six.
That's Worlds Unknown, though.
Yeah.
So what happened, the Black and White magazine, they'd had all this stuff in the pipeline, and it was, oh, crap, it's not selling. So they had these stories sitting around, done. And they would just shove them in whatever book there was room for. Worlds Unknown was a reprint of 50s Atlas monster stuff and horror stuff. And it was, well, we got this inventory story. Can't sell worse than the crap we've been putting in it already. Get rid of it. At least, you know, we'll get something out of it because everybody got paid. Marvel was a weird place in the 70s. I did two things. First, I was following Joe so I could chat with him, because Joe and I hadn't seen each other since before Christmas.
Yeah.
And we spent a day catching up after 6 months. And then at the con, you know, we're back, we're looking through dealer stuff, and he's pulling out these Superman families. And I'm looking through the dealer stuff because it's, you know, whatever book it is, it's $2. And it's, oh, look, he's got some 100 pagers. He's got some, the old DC dollar comics, which were 80 pages. And I just, you know, after you went through and got your Superman families, I said, you know, I'm going to get all the Superman families. There were a few that I had already, and I remembered the covers. And then it was, oh, look, here's some of the giant-size House of Mysteries and the giant-size Unknowns. And, oh, some giant-size Marvels. I picked up two or three of the ones that I'd had when I was in the hospital as a kid that I'd read to death. The Captain America, giant-size Captain America, reprints the first 7 or 8 Captain America stories from Tales of Suspense. What a cool book that was. So I was going through, and I was in, you know, I was in the cheese boxes, any oversized comic. A lot of DC horror books. Matter of fact, I went over to John Hauser's table, and I bought all of his, you know, dollar horror, DC horror books. And he walked away from his table, and when he came back, you know, I had stuff to do. I didn't want to stand there all night waiting for him. God knows where he went. So I took the money that I was going to pay him. It was like, I think they were $1 each or 6 for $5. So I picked out, I got all 12 of the bigger ones, and I took the $10 and I put it in his Overstreet. And he came back to his table, and I was doing stuff at the charity table. And eventually, about a half hour later, he came over and said, did you buy anything? I said, yeah, I left the money in your Overstreet as a bookmark. There wasn't any money in my Overstreet as a bookmark. And I went, oh, crap. And I went over, looked at his Overstreet guy. There's the $10 bill sticking out with a Post-it on it saying, you know, for the comics. And he must not have had a good con, because on Saturday he came over, tapped me on the shoulder and said, yeah, the boxes you were looking for, they're 50 cents each now.
Yeah. I didn't have the heart. John's a low-end... I don't know how you say it without sounding insulting. I don't mean it that way, but he's kind of the golden age, silver age guy, you know.
Yeah.
He tries to deal in that realm. And I've seen every so often online, you'll see a list of people that, you know, are people to go to people. And he's one of them, where he would be a guy you want to talk to if you're looking for a hard to find gold age or silver age. But he's like on the low end of the scale, as opposed to like Harley Yee or,
Mile High.
Mile High is the big one. Krypton Comics, Jamie Graham, his stores. So it's always interesting to see what he has.
The other thing I was digging for was, you know, I spent 3 years either unemployed or not able to spend money on trades and hardcovers. And, oh, I could buy food. It was trades and hardcovers that I'd cut back on. So I had a list of some of the Masterworks I wanted to get, some of the trades I wanted to get. Now, here's the thing that was weird. Any trade that came out the last 6 months, except for a few, were not there at all. There were no recent showcases. There were no recent essentials. There weren't any recent of the stuff that's reprinting the Bronze Age books. That's what I was looking for. They had some of the Masterworks. I picked up I've got the first of the Atlas Heroes Masterworks. I picked up the second, third. And just so people know, I did not pay more than half price on any of the books I bought. I almost feel ashamed of how much I paid for those two Masterworks. I almost feel ashamed. But not really, because I bought them from Steve Brown. And yeah, screw him. I picked up the Jungle Action Masterwork.
I remember when you got that one.
$65 book. I got it for $20. And it reprints all of Don McGregor's Black Panther stories. And I have been sitting out on my deck when the weather is good. I am sitting out on my deck with a cold beverage, some music playing, reading those stories, and by God, if they aren't better than I remember. They are amazingly written. The prose is a little purple, but there's so much heart and so much care. I was reading one story where a minor where one of the supporting characters is killed. And it was so well done and so emotional. And I'd never seen a death in comics done that way. And I don't know as I've seen anybody write a death in fiction that way. Just very much, Don McGregor cares so much about the characters that it comes through in how he writes about them. So even a minor character who's just in one scene in an issue, you feel like they're a full, rich, complete character. It was so good. And when I was a kid, it was more like, that character died. Now when I read it, it's got a lot more resonance and a lot more strength to it. And that's sort of what I was doing at the con. I still have my list of stuff. I got to talk to some of the artists. I got to go around and see people. And the woman I'm seeing, Angie, set up her massage table. She did chair massage, $1 a minute, and she pulled in over $300. And she gave half of it to the charity and half of it for herself. And this was the first time she'd set up, at anything like this. First time she'd ever been at a comic convention.
And she didn't run screaming out the door.
That's right. She still wanted to hang out with me that night.
She's a keeper.
That's right. So I had a great time. I talked to some of the people who listened to the show and some of the people who I know on the forum, and everybody seemed to have a good time. There were only a couple dealers who were pissing and moaning, which I got to be honest, that's a rarity, because there are dealers pissing and moaning at every convention. They go to San Diego, it's like, oh, I don't think they brought in enough comic fans. I couldn't sell crap. I've been bringing this stuff to the con for the last 6 years, and normally I sell a lot of it. There were a lot of dealers where when I flipped through their bargain stuff, it was, this was the same stuff you had 4 years ago when I had money.
Yeah, there's that. That's one of the reasons I don't do shows as dealers, because my stock is still the same. It's not, I'm not adding to it. And that's the whole thing. When you're a retailer or a dealer, you got to have that perpetual stock. You got to keep moving things in, moving things out. I got a pile of weird stuff as you were talking. It just, my brain kind of, I remember I bought that, because it was fun. I picked up a lot of fun stuff. We had a couple boxes of comics donated that were basically bottom of mill grist. And after letting people pick through them, I just took them and dumped them on the freebie box. Freebie paid stuff. But I did pick up some things. In the category of it's too good to pass up, I picked up the Shinriku Collected Edition. It's a $14 trade for, I think it was, 50 cents at that table. A giant-sized supervillain team-up, too. Here's a DC Dollar Comic, five-star studded hero, superhero spectacular. And I think I showed you these when I was picking them up, Black Goliath 1 and Black Panther 1. Why not? They're Marvel number ones. The most interesting thing I picked up, actually, I'm going to go to different ends here. Some things I just picked up because I know I have them in my collection, but for a quarter, they're worth picking up. I picked up X-Force 4 and Spider-Man 16. If you remember, that's the...
That crossover.
Yeah. And rereading it, I mean, back then when I read it, it was fun. I mean, I like the cross-hatching. I like the energy. I like the style. But now I'm reading this story and I get kind of a chill, because if you remember, the story starts out where Black Tom blows up the upper stories of one of the two World Trade Centers in a terroristic act. And that's what gets Spider-Man involved, and that's what gets X-Force involved. And I had to put that aside in order to enjoy the story, but you know, the one page in the Spider-Man where you're watching the Twins Tower and the utter, you're talking probably the upper eighth of the whole Twin Towers is gone. I probably could have gone without rereading that ever again, but So I made up for it by reading a real cheerful issue. I picked up a copy of Daredevil 190. That's where...
That's a happy one, too.
Yeah. So I did really good on that. Utterly failing at that, I went over to perennial seller Jerome Wanker, and I picked up a coverless copy of Action Comics 59.
Oh, wow!
As Superman trying to save Cinderella. I love this stuff. I mean, and the corner has one of the favorite things for victory, buy United States war bonds and stamps, right there on page one. So I'm looking forward to reading that. My grand finale, though, is,
dun, dun, dun.
Because, of course, I did one thing I don't normally do. I actually asked.
You took a shower?
No. I see you don't want to before a con, because that way when you're digging through the cheap books, unless you're like filled yourself up with beans, you want to be able to use that natural stench to get people away from the books. So shower, the question, although it did rain. No, I asked Dan Juergens to do a piece of art for me. I don't normally ask for art because I could never figure out what I wanted. I mean, I look at what, but I finally figured out I'm going to go with this superhero gal my heart fell to, the 1970 Supergirl.
Oh, neat.
Yep, she had the V-neck with the little symbol, the hot pants, the go-go boots. And if you've ever seen art done by Dan Juergens, it is phenomenal. I promise I will get a picture of it up on the website, either on the official Crazy Comic or my own personal one. It was a lot of fun. It's, and I think I've actually got a few other pictures. I've got one from Gene Ha that I want to post. I got a couple from Fred Hembeck. So that was kind of fun.
Okay. You're Gene Ha. Did you have a Gene Ha story this year?
No, I just stopped by and talked to Gene. I didn't really bug him that much. Gene was actually I don't think he was having people do weird things this year, but he did give quite a lot of money to the charities. So I think with the exception of maybe some kids, everything he collected was for charity, which was, I mean, incredible of him. Plus he donated a couple nice pieces. At the art auction, though.
Hold on, before we get to the art auction.
That's where I go nuts.
One of the things I always find amazing about Gene Ha doing that every year, most artists come to cons in order to make money. It's part of their income. They don't come to the con because they love to hang out and spend their weekend having sweaty fanboys ask them questions. They're doing sketches to raise money. My friend Dan, who does Worldwide News, he brings his self-published books, he brings mini comics for people who only want to spend a dollar or two, and his wife brings jewelry. They actually did really well selling the jewelry, because I would say the people at the convention this year were around 30 to 35% female. We're getting more and more women showing up at these conventions, and it's not girlfriends being dragged along. There were groups of girls wandering the aisles, buying anime stuff and everything. But the fact that Gene Ha comes to conventions and the money he makes, he gives away to charity, says more about him as a person than anything else, because he could easily come to a con, make a couple grand doing sketches, and no one would think any less of him. No one would go, oh, that bastard. Nope, he comes to the con, he loves to meet the fans, and he does sketches, and you got to give to charity, or you got to do something interesting. He has fun at conventions.
Yeah. That was interesting about Dan Juergens, too, because I talked with him. And with Dan, because I've known him mostly through the con, you know, I told him, as if you wanted to work on this later, and I could catch up with you. But Dan only does sketches like that at conventions. Because he's got so much other stuff he does. He says he doesn't mind doing it, so he'll do one day where he'll sketch, and the next day he visits, and he'll always talk to people and do autographs, which is really cool. So I was real happy to get a really awesome sketch from Dan. Plus, I told him, you know, I can pick it up on Sunday. It's not like I have to have it today. So that worked out really cool. But when the art auction comes around, there were two things that happened that were interesting. The first one, of course, we had a good old-fashioned tornado warning.
So at the art auction, it wasn't just one of those warnings that, oh, conditions might be right. Oh, no, it was an actual damn tornado.
Yeah. In hindsight, the tornado was miles away, but the storm was big. And I have a cousin up in northeast Minneapolis. Windows blew out. His roof got taken off. The house next to him got leveled. I believe somebody died in all the mayhem. It certainly wasn't as severe or as widespread as down south, but it was a tornado. On the plus side, we were in quite possibly the most sturdy building on the fairgrounds. Built in 1909, the grandstand is basically a brick house. It's not going anywhere. And, you know, probably the safest place we could be. And as Mike Fergan, the gentleman doing the auctioneering, told everybody, you might as well sit down and bid. You're not going anywhere. There's a tornado outside. So, let's see. We've had snowstorms. We've had extreme heat. Rain and tornadoes. I think we've pretty much covered the gamut of everything that can happen in Minnesota. So next year's con should be absolutely fine. Now I went.
Yeah, the minute you said that.
Well, it has to be because, you know, I got to admit, I go silly at auctions, especially when I know it's for charity. And I got into a bidding war with Nick over a piece. It was done by Christopher Rich McKelvey, and I swear every year he puts up a piece of artwork, and it's always related to the MCBA. And I know I've got about three of them downstairs. This one was Nick versus the Comic Cons. Had a picture of, let's see, Poison Ivy, the Harlequin, Joker's chick's name? Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
That looked like two Harley Quinns. Looks like the Golden Age ones, Eric, the Catwoman. And, of course, Nick right in the middle. And Nick and I went into a bidding war, but I think in all fairness, if Nick wanted to, he could have crushed me, but he let me have it. We were bidding quarters for a while, but I ended up winning it. The other thing that I won was by somebody. You probably heard of this guy. Daniel Moyer, he does called Everyday Gods.
Yeah, and he also does a strip called Worldwide News. I hear he's pretty good.
That can't be any good because Everyday Gods actually has a book. I didn't see a Weekly World News book, but he put one up for charity and I bid on it. So I picked up some knickknacks. But the funniest stories were when my daughter Holly, she come with me. And she basically was sitting with me, and every so often she'd see something she wanted to bid on. And I'd tell her, go ahead, you know, because I'd always bring some money for the girls. And Dana was off running around with her friends taking pictures. And so Holly started bidding on something. First thing was, every year, Terrence Greep, our good friend, Scooby's Doo Scribe and consummate pro wrestler, He always donates his script and a comic. And oftentimes these things go for quite a lot of money, especially now that Terrence doesn't sound like he's doing Scooby-Doo now anymore, or at least not for the near future. And so she started to bid on it, and one of the other guys from a Comic-Con bid. And, of course, I called him on. I said, dude, you're bidding against my daughter. And he backed down, and she won the auction. So,
well, good for her.
Later on in the con, there was a variant X-Men comic book that I wanted to bid on, and I started bidding on it, and then I noticed a little girl was bidding on it.
Oh.
So I gave it to her.
You had to.
I had to. But the favorite part was there was this little bit of art, and Holly started bidding on it. And, you know, it's $5, $10, $15, and Holly goes to me, can I bid again? And I say, okay. She goes, it bids at $15. She goes, $40.
Holy cats. Nick taught her how to bid.
Yeah, she's learning how to bid by Nick. She won. So, but that was the fun part. You know, the con ends on a high note with the art auction. And then we go back to the tables and we end up just going silly, trying to blow stuff out for people. Things where we insisted on $50 for, we let go as little as $5. So, better replacement than mine. That's what I always say.
That, I didn't take as many pictures. Normally, I give one of your daughters my camera, and she runs around and takes all kinds of strange pictures. This year, they lost interest pretty quickly because there was only like 20 pictures on it. But I got one picture. As I said, this was Angie's first comic convention. She'd never even been to a comic shop. She'd never bought a comic book. We're walking around. I think it was Sunday. She just wanted to see what kind of stuff they had. And it was interesting to me seeing her reaction to the things at the con.
Because that was that thing from, what was the name of that place? No Logic Dojos, where they had the big fight of the century, Optimus Prime versus Prime Rib.
Yes.
I love that stuff.
But I got a picture of her, and if you didn't know that she'd never been in a comic convention or a comic shop before, you would look at how she is kneeling down and looking through a long box. Oh, she's a lifer. She's been doing comics forever. She had the same pose as comic fans have when they do that. And one thing I talked about it last year, and I've talked about it for a while. Every year I have a Comic Con moment. Last year it was listening to Jim Shooter all night. This year, Angie's a smoker, so we're at the dinner. She goes outside to have a smoke, and I go with her. And she's having her smoke, and Jose Luis Garcia Lopez comes out. And I didn't know he was a smoker. He lights up a cigarette, and they're talking and everything. And she gets done and says, oh, I need to go in and get blah, 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 blah. And Jose was out there, and I didn't want to leave. You know, this is Jose Garcia. I didn't want to leave him alone. This is my only chance to get to talk to him. Everybody else, he's friends with at the con. I've never had a chance to talk to him. So we're talking for a while. And he's getting done with the cigarette. And I say, you know, I don't like being a fan type person after hours. But I just want to thank you for all the hours of entertainment you gave me and all the stories you've drawn and how much I've really enjoyed, not just your art, but how you tell your stories. And he said that it was only the second time someone had ever thanked him for the entertainment he gave them. Hmm. And the other time was at our convention, and it was one of the guys who worked on the convention. And he said the first time it happened was a couple of years ago, and it really changed his perspective of what he did, because he always thought of it as art and everything. And then this person thanked him for the entertainment, and he said it was the first time I'd ever seen myself as an entertainer. And it was a different perspective, and it stuck with him all those years. And to have someone at the same con say the same thing, he was just – there's something about you people here in Minnesota where you're just so kind to everyone. So Minnesota nice isn't a joke, Joe. What was your con moment?
To me, I think it was just being there, you know, so much fun just to see friends that I haven't seen before and talk to people. Sometimes, you know, I'd pick up things like, for $20, I picked up volume one of the Photo Journal Guide to Comic Books. I've had these for years. I mean,
I love those books.
I just pick them up because I'm getting into looking at comic covers and, you know, looking at things I'll probably never buy. Sometimes it's just sheer giddiness. Like one of the guys, Wayne, had the Fourth Doctor toy from England. You know, if everybody has a doctor, the Fourth Doctor is mine. And, so now I have one I can actually open. But it's just hanging. And the biggest regret I have at the con, and I do this to myself every year, is I don't get a chance. You know, I run around. I got certain things I want to do. I want to get the charity booth set up. I want to get it cracked down. There are certain things I want to look for. Sometimes I complain, you know, I'm not in the mood to look through quarter boxes. And this year I was. But it's always the independent people. You know, there's people that I see, you know, I've seen their comic books at local stores and I buy them. And then to see them at the con, you know, I always think, oh, I'm going to come back and talk to them. Like this year, I finally got a chance to go back and pick up super maxi pad grill. I've been hearing about this from my daughter for like the last couple of years, and now I finally had it. I miss the guys who put up the MacGuffin Exchange. I picked up number one at the Source during I think it might have been one of their sales. Number two and three have come out. I didn't get a chance to pick it up. And I'm sure there's people that might have come to the con. Like I said, I'd like to hear more about the people who listen to the show. Because I, as far as I know, I didn't talk to anybody who actually ID'd themselves that way to me. But then again, I was off doing that. I was running around trying to get pictures of every creator at the show, trying to get pictures of the costumes, trying to get fun stuff to give people an idea. Just how much fun this show really is. And, you know, it's quite possibly the best little show in comics. It's all comics. It's not a media show like Wizards or the San Diego Comic-Con's become. And I think it shows itself, especially in the fact that we have certain creators that just keep coming back over and over. I'll give you a story that I heard, although I didn't participate on that. Apparently, Howard Chaykin, when he was asked what he wanted, and what they're thinking is, you know, do you need a break? Do you want to run upstairs and grab some food? Do you need some water, some pop? He decided he wanted a chicken sandwich. So Nick and the guys at the con proceeded to come by every hour on the hour, different volunteers, and drop off a chicken sandwich. One after the other. And the picture I took at Midwest Comic Book Association has Howard Chaykin in there. I just had to comment, man, can that man pack away the chicken sandwiches?
You know, that's such a great story.
I know. I have no idea why or who they came up with that one.
I love that. And on that note, I'd like to let everybody know that you've wasted a little over an hour of your life listening to us blather on about funny books, but you're not going to have to do it much longer. Because we're ending the show in August and starting over in September. So really, none of the shows between now and September matter.
I'm against it. This is the real battle, folks. It's shaping up here.
What I find funny is how many fans I'm reading online are like, so really, any comic that comes out between now and August pretty much going to be wiped away so they can do whatever crazy whacked out crap they want.
Just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
So remember, as we always say, that the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most.
Unless it's Deathmate.
Hey, look, the crickets finally made an appearance.